friendly.
Welcome to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Welcome to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia Elcourie.
And I'm Cathy Weston.
Tonight's show is all about post-birth bodies, women's bodies. So tonight's show is a little bit more geared for the mums than the dads. But if you hang in there patiently, dads, you'll be a good support to women listening in. I don't think anybody got through childbirth with some kind of a side effect or some kind of a backlash on their bodies, and even the fittest person before they had a baby, you know, didn't spring back into shape like all the magazines seem to show that they did. So tonight's show, we're going to do a series of these over the next month or so, of just little features on tips for women on how to get their bodies back and what kind of solutions there are to it. So tonight's show, we're going to be talking to Liz Colaxey, who is from Fit From Within. So she'll be giving us different perspectives. She's from a Pilates perspective, from a more spiritual perspective, and about what to do post-birth for women. And later on the show, we're going to have some advice from you about A-level results and what to do if you're in the situation of having a young teenager who's just found out what they're going to do with the rest of their life. So we'll have some tips for you there. And if you have any questions, if you have any contributions, any questions for Liz about getting your body back, it would be great to hear from you. It's 01727 839 926.
Verulam Community Partners.
Hertfordshire Chorus is one of the finest large choirs in the country, performing at the top venues throughout the UK and regularly touring abroad. This nationally acclaimed choir is here on your doorstep. They rehearse every Wednesday in Hatfield and are always happy to welcome new singers. So if you're looking to join a top-class choir, then go along to any rehearsal. If you are not a singer but enjoy listening to good music, why not go along to one of the concerts? Details are on the website, which is hertfordshirechorus.org.uk.
For more on Radio Verulam Community Partners, go to radioverulam.com/community partners.
Welcome back to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. So tonight's show is all about women's bodies post-birth and what to do, and can you actually ever bounce back from having a baby? And if it's unlikely after one, is it impossible after two and three and so on? And to find out all the answers, I'm not putting pressure on you or anything, Liz. We've got Liz Colaxey in the studio with us this evening from Fit From Within to talk to us about various elements to the to post-birth recovery. How are you doing, Liz?
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening.
You're welcome. Nice to be here again. Haven't been here for a while.
Have you not? You've taken a break from Radio Verulam, but you've never been on the Parent Show before.
I've never, no. And what a great idea.
Well, it's something Cathy and myself kind of hold dear. You know, we both have had kids and we both know what a battering your body takes post-birth. So we just wanted to ask you a few questions about what your opinion is, what's possible or not. I mean, I'm going to ask you one very simple, flat-out question. Is it possible to get a flat tummy again after having children?
Oh, the number one question, isn't it? For every woman alive.
Yeah.
Every mum.
Is it possible?
Do you know what? I'm going to answer that with again, I don't have any answers that might be given by the medical profession. I want to be very clear about that. But you said something before you even asked that, and it was about, you said what is possible. Yeah. And I believe anything is possible.
Right.
So that's the number one. Yeah. Anything is possible.
That's a good start. We like that.
As far as a flat tummy goes, I was very fortunate, I think. I had good sized thighs and legs from the age of 15. I remember looking down at my PE skirt one day and thinking, oh my God, I've got big thighs. Yeah. But I had a very flat stomach. My sister had the opposite. She had skinny little legs and a big tummy.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we've got to accept we can't get away from our basic body shape.
Right.
So that's number one. I was also very fortunate as far as tummy goes, because after I had my second son and my first son, in fact, I'll go to my first son. The second son was slightly different scenario. I breastfed.
Yeah.
And I felt the fat being sucked from my body. It was quite amazing. And I've heard other mothers say this. I know not enough mothers have this experience, but for me, breastfeeding really took the fat off my body, and I was actually thinner after my children than I was before my children. So I think I was lucky in that way, because I know many women have the opposite problem. And then, of course, you've got the whole thing of, what are you eating? Are you exercising? What is your body type? So I don't do yes or no answers, really, but you can absolutely flatten your tummy more than it is by doing exercises such as Pilates.
Yeah, well, that's excellent. So I mean, you can make improvements.
You can absolutely make improvements, always. There's always improvements. In fact, if there was not a possibility of having an improvement in anything, in any subject, then oh dearie me. But you've got to put the work in. Yeah, you can't,
I think that's
just push
the big difficulty. It's difficult at the best at times, but when you've got a small baby, especially if it's your first, the fatigue, like, it's hard enough to motivate yourself to exercise. Yeah. I mean, I'm always in awe of those women who are out with buggies jogging.
Yeah,
I just think they're amazing.
They're obsessed,
because they've been up all night probably, or at least once or twice, and they're able to, you know, find the strength.
I'm not worried about those kind of mums, because they know exactly, you know, they know what they want. And that's a completely...
They know what they want.
And they know how to get it to a certain extent, because they're driven, and they were probably driven before they ever had kids.
That's right.
But like people like me who weren't very, you know, wasn't very fit. I didn't do a huge amount of exercise before I had kids. And after the first kid, I had my son when I was 38. You know, not the smartest time. I mean, it would be much better if I had him when I was 28. And obviously I would have bounced back quicker. Second of all, I had a C-section, which I genuinely believe it doesn't help bouncing back. Mm. But suddenly you're there and you're thinking, okay, well, at least I had a kind of, I didn't have a big belly. And now, like, then you post-baby have a belly. It's like, oh, it'll go after a year, and you look down, it's not gone. You know, and it affects your whole self-confidence, doesn't
but
it?
But it's not just about the belly, because we're talking about a woman's entire identity.
Yeah, well, that's exactly.
Because suddenly it's like a you just cannot believe that, you know, your whole body has changed, your life has changed. It's the changes that are just enormous. It's not just the body is the last thing you can even think about, is it?
Well, it's an element too. It's a huge element to it. The confidence that's destroyed as a result of having this big belly, and no matter what you do dieting wise or whatever, you know, you still have a belly. A lot of women still have a belly, and it actually gets to the point where, well, I mean, in my case, and I know other moms who kind of share my thought, it's like you think, well, what's the point? You're never going to get rid of it. So
am I going to be very controversial here if I say that I've noticed a lot of women say, I lost my figure after I had baby.
Yeah.
But I wonder what it was like before baby, because I actually think we use it as an excuse as well. I think it's quite easy also, and I'm sure there's women out there who want to phone in and say, this is not true. It's very easy, isn't it, to say, well, I used to have a great figure, but then I had a baby. It's kind of...
That's exactly what I say all the time.
And it's great being able to have that as an excuse, I think. And I'm not saying that you've got a rather annoying phone going on there in the background.
We've got listeners' questions piled up.
But obviously that's not always the case. And I'm kind of slightly tongue-in-cheek. But I think there's an element to, if you were exercising pre-pregnancy...
Of course.
And you were fit and you were doing what needed doing, and you have a baby and you go back into exercise, I would be quite horrified if there was such a huge, you know, unless you've had massive complications, you know, you've overeaten even. I mean, I was lucky because I was so sick, if being sick can be lucky.
Yeah.
And then the last 3 months, I piled it on. I put, you know, 3 stone on or something in the last few months. But I said, breastfeeding help for me. But I think we're all very much individual. I think it is kind of easy. I think you've got to look at what's going on prior to your pregnancy. And then post-pregnancy, you can definitely make improvements in your body. You know, no doubt, no doubt. But you've got to do the work.
Yeah, look. I'm booking in with Liz already. I said that in the break. You've been on my to-do list. I'm one of those moms who just cannot get that tracksuit on. I just kind of stop on the way to buy on a blueberry muffin.
Right, well, we're going to have a bit of the streets now, and you'll grin when you hear the name of the song, and then we'll come back with more advice from Liz. Welcome back to The Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Now, tonight's show is all about getting fit after having a baby, and if it's possible, and we've just been talking about whether actually being fit before you have a baby has a big role to play. You were saying, Liz.
Absolutely. You know, it's never too late to get fit. I don't read the papers, but I did notice on the paper stand this week it says, you know, from the age of 50, it's never too late. At 50, 60, you know, people start. I've got a woman who's amazing. She started with me in her 60s. She's now in her 70s. It's never too late. However, you know, if we're talking about young mums, new mums, older mums, if you're fit before you go into pregnancy, of course you're going to get your fitness back much more quickly. You're going to get your results more quickly. The longer you've been exercising and you have a break, the longer you've been exercising prior to baby, the more quickly you'll get your figure back. So, you know, there's no shortcut to getting fit.
Because really the advice is probably best, it's probably best to make the light exercise, swimming, the good nutrition part of your life when pregnant. Because it's so difficult when you've got the small baby to suddenly start a brand new routine of something that you've never incorporated into your life before. Would you agree?
Well, I'm more grannies.com these days. My friends are all becoming grannies. In fact, my eldest is 30 next year and I'm not a granny yet. Thank goodness.
Liz, you should be very disappointed that radio is not a visual medium. Yeah, now, exactly. We're always delighted that radio isn't there. But Liz looks, I am so shocked that you have a 30-year-old child. I really am.
Yeah, I know.
It's amazing.
Know. She's not just fit from within. That's what I get.
I know.
Well, thank you very much. And I have to say, actually, I did look a lot older in my 20s and 30s for my age because I was so stressed. I was widowed after my second son was born. So
that's
talk
so
to me about, you know, what happened with my figure post-pregnancy is not an issue. It was all mental, emotional stuff, you know.
Sure.
Yes, certainly, you know, fitness is part of it. But like you say, nutrition, all that. And I think when you're pregnant, it's very difficult to start any routine because sickness, hunger, you know, cravings, all of those sort of things. I think that just flies out the window, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, I think you can keep a lid on it to a certain extent. I mean, I know I indulge myself. And I remember when I went to the midwife one time, I think this was with my daughter, my second child. And I went to the midwife and I said, and you know, how many extra calories do you think you should be piling on? And she went, well, let's just say after breakfast, you can have a slice of toast and that should be the extra calories you need for the day. I was crestfallen. I was like thinking, where are the cream cakes and the chocolate?
Yeah, but Lydia, the mistake you made is asking her. Because I felt like, well, A, if I didn't eat, I'd feel sick.
Yeah.
And I just wanted carbohydrate. Yeah. All the time. And I just had the mindset, or I didn't care. I just want to sit there and sit on my egg, basically, and not move and eat whatever I like. And just not talk to anyone. And not do any exercise. And just wait, you know.
It's such a good excuse.
I was so frightened of not exercising in case anything happens.
Well, I know.
I just sat there.
It doesn't make complete sense to me how running is compatible with having a baby.
I know, it's a bit scary. No.
You know, I think
running when you're having a baby.
I know people who jog their way through it.
Really?
I mean, up to like 7-8 months.
I mean, a friend of mine was a canoeist before she got pregnant. She still canoed, you know, as long as she could into the pregnancy.
Yeah.
The baby was born premature, and then but as soon after she just sport to her. A lot of people who are very very sporty, it's horrible for them to have that break in activity.
Well, actually, it's interesting because I had my first two kids and I was very very sick. Yeah. What do you call it?
Morning
sickness. God, it's a long time ago. Very bad morning sickness. So bad. I mean, like for 6 months, a really really bad sickness. So I did actually fall pregnant a third time with my second husband, and I decided this time because I was a really weedy I was pregnant at 21. I was very weedy. I never exercised or did anything. I had no strength and I used to sit around all day long. So by the time I went into my third pregnancy, I decided I was really going to keep on. At this point, I was teaching aerobics. I was going to keep going all the way through, that I wasn't going to give in to this silly idea that I shouldn't do anything, put my feet up for 9 months.
Yeah.
So I decided I was going to keep going. But I did go to the GP and I said, look, I'm just concerned because I do teach aerobics. I want to make sure that it's safe and blah, blah. And I remember him saying, I do believe this to be true, actually. And I don't often listen to what GPs say, I have to say, very rarely. But you know some words you remember, and I just remember him saying, if this is a pregnancy that's healthy, you can go bungee jumping and the baby will be okay. So whatever you do, the baby will be okay. Because I think we worry too much. And unfortunately, I was very, very, very sick, so I couldn't exercise anyway again. And I lost the baby, so and,
really?
But you know, that was just meant to be. But it's an interesting one. I think, you know, we have these ideas about what we believe, isn't it? If we believe something, then that's what we do. So it's about opening our minds to all possibilities and just trusting that, you know, if a baby's meant to come along healthily, that's what will happen. You know, and you just do.
And it's very much out of your control, really.
Yeah.
It's just you have to just sort of. I think that's one of the great challenges of pregnancy, that you just have to trust life and just let something take over and just see what happens and trust your body.
Absolutely. Well, I think when we come onto the exercise thing, you know, I think my main point is, and it's the same with anything to do with exercise nowadays, is it's not always about what is the truth, what is right. It's actually about insurance and it's about money. So, you know, as an exercise teacher, and I'm not included in this, I really work intuitively. But if you go along and do an exercise class, for example, you know, you're not meant to lie on your back for exercising for the first, is it up to 32 weeks or after 32 weeks? I can't even remember now.
Yeah.
I've never followed those guidelines. Never. And I've never had any problems with my pregnant ladies. But, you know, if somebody is going to make an insurance claim because something happened to that baby and you've done something that's not within the guidelines, like anything, you know, you could be accused of causing that problem. But it's not always actually the truth. It's because if someone's suing somebody for something and they think, well, okay, it could have been because I did a headstand when I was 7 months pregnant.
But how can you not work with pregnant women but in an intuitive way? Surely have to be intuitive, otherwise they don't get the best of what you're offering them.
Yeah, but I mean, I know there are teachers, many teachers, and, you know, they are good on them. You know, they will follow the rules and, you know, rules are there to be broken as far as I'm concerned. If you're working intuitively and you're able to connect with that part of you, you know, it's like people, I mean, some people say, oh, you know, I can't do this week because I've got this, or I can't do this. I mean, I work with people who can't walk, people in wheelchairs, people with all sorts of problems, and they say, oh, I can't do this. My latest, I've got a woman with MS, and every time she wants to lift her head off the Cadillac, you know, in the Pilates studio, she puts her fingers in her mouth to lift her head off the mat. And I say, what are you doing? And she said, I was told to do this by a specialist. And I said, yes, and that's why you have no strength in those muscles, because you are never using those muscles.
Yeah.
You know, so people are told something at any point in their life, and that becomes their mantra, you know. And as I said, anything is possible, but, you know.
And goodness me, like with the Olympics and with the Paralympics coming up, I mean,
if
you need a reason to get off the sofa, get your trainers on.
Absolutely.
I mean, I was ashamed of myself watching the Olympics. I really, really was, especially when I found out that some of the gold medalists are young children.
So no excuse there.
No excuses.
Back onto the Nobel Peace Prize.
I know.
But so Liz, tell us a little bit. Okay, it makes sense. If you're fit before, you're more likely to be fit afterwards.
Yeah.
Don't go nuts during pregnancy, you're saying.
Don't go nuts during pregnancy. I've had several women who have done headstands into their seventh month of pregnancy.
Yeah.
And actually, this is a long time ago, and I remember saying to both of them, you know, originally the first one, certainly, please don't do it. You're 7 months pregnant. And she said, I want to do it.
Right.
And I said, well, okay, do it. And she was fine. She had a healthy baby. But, you know, she didn't learn how to do a headstand at 5 months. She'd been doing them prior. So I think the general rule that I follow is, you know, if you've been doing it before you were pregnant, it's perfectly okay to do it once you are pregnant. And, you know, there are certain chemicals in the body relaxing, you know, the muscles become softer, more relaxed, you know, you're more, you could sort of overstretch yourself. You have to be careful with stretches and things. But generally, exercise like Pilates, especially done within an environment where it's in a studio environment, a small group, absolutely fantastic. You know, and again, I could just talk about exercise in general, that, you know, people have got all these ideas about what their core is. And, you know, about the core being all about the deep abdominals. But simply by aligning the bones and breathing, we are activating our core. So, you know, and I say, if you've got lungs, you know, you can do Pilates. If you can breathe, it's just about integrating the breath with the body, with the movement, and having a body that's balanced. So, you know, if you want to call that exercise, if you want to call that just being alive,
being aligned with
being
your
aligned
body,
and being alive. Yeah. Yes, because if we don't move, we stagnate. So we need to move the body. And, you know, another very big factor, I think, especially for new mums and pregnant mums, is the feel good factor. You know, it makes you feel good. And there's nothing like being a new mum and being deprived from your sleep. You know, that's another area, I think, of new mums, is that just that sleep deprivation. So by stretching and breathing and toning the body, you are actually giving energy to your body, which makes you feel good.
Yeah. Liz, what can mums expect if they come to your class post-pregnancy, for example? It's a small class because a lot of women are quite self-conscious, I think, after giving birth. And what can they sort of expect?
Well, we don't have more than five in a class. I mean, they have to come for an assessment first of all, which is a one-to-one session. And many people choose to have a few one-to-ones, but you join a group of five people. And we work specifically with that body. I've got two or three very good teachers that I've trained up. The one thing, I think, the one comment we get from people is that they say, my friends say I look slimmer, but I haven't actually lost any weight.
Yeah. I think I said that to you, Lydia, when you started these classes.
I have to come clean to listeners. I'm a complete convert to Liz's classes. I mean, they're spectacular. And they, I mean, it's changed. It's totally changed my life. Like, it's missing Pilates is like missing a meal. It's just, it's my nutrition. Yeah. It's what I needed. And I've never been like that about any exercise I've ever done in my life. It's always drag myself out or drag myself up on the bicycle or whatever. But it's absolutely not like that. I mean, I've discovered a way my body can sit that I didn't even know was possible.
I know. You know? Sitting here in agony.
I mean, if
you've got to book my class.
If you've got back pain, don't go near any kind of back specialist. Just Pilates is the way to strengthen it, isn't it? I mean, it's.
Are we recording this? Because I'd love a copy of this. It's worth a mint.
We are.
Free advertising.
Actually, can we come to a question one of our listeners sent in during the week, if you don't mind, Liz? And this is from Lucy, who is from St Albans. She said, I had twins by cesarean section in January. This was my second pregnancy. Generally, I'm feeling much fitter and healthier now than immediately after my pregnancy, but sometimes I still get bad pelvic back pain in the crotch and tailbone area, and especially in the evening and when I get out of bed in the morning. I haven't gone to the doctor because, quite apart from not having the time, I'm assuming that my body is still recovering and it's probably reasonable to expect this for up to a year. Am I right?
Yeah, it can take up to a year, but I would suggest somebody like this starts to look at their general alignment, you know, how they're breathing. You know, go and have a private Pilates session with somebody. Sometimes yoga isn't the answer. I also teach yoga, and I think, you know, people often get told to, if you've got a bad back, go to yoga. But I think you've got to be very, very careful who you go to. I would say go to somebody who's recommended. You can help alleviate, because the thing is, once there's a weakness, once there's a problem, you're going to exasperate it the longer you leave it. And so you don't tend to use the body in such a clever way that it's designed to work. So you want to pull yourself back into shape as soon as possible, because those things like the pelvic floor, the core muscles need to be worked. And most people who have back problems is due to poor posture. obviously, if you've had a cesarean, twins, you know, you've got all sorts of added extras there.
Yeah.
So absolutely, I would say don't give in to that. I would say look at it, look at the problem.
Don't wait for a year.
No, I mean, you know, I know some people sort of say after you've had a baby, you should wait 2, 3, 4 months or whatever. But I don't agree with that. I think if you feel like doing it, get on and start working, because the work can be very, very gentle. You know, if you're picking up a child, a baby, breastfeeding, looking after a toddler, you're probably doing more exercise that way that's not correct than you would be doing a one-to-one, looking at some very basic movements of the body and how the muscles are responding and how, you know, in what order are the muscles working. So it's about making sure that your muscles are firing up in the right order.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're looking in the lines of sort of, I'm not saying, you know, I'm an osteopath or anything, but you're looking at muscle recruitment, and it becomes a little bit technical at that point. But these are the things you want to be looking at if someone's in pain sort of 8 months after having a baby.
But it just makes sense when you say it, Liz. Do you know what I mean? Like it's just getting the bits of your body in the right place.
It is. It's so simple.
Evenly and in a balanced way to keep you where you're meant to be.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I mean, it's
fascinating.
So, yeah, it is. It's so, I mean, my mother-in-law, who is 76, has been to a class and she was almost bent over before she went into that class with you, and I was dying to see her reaction when she came out. We gave it to her as a present, and she, that afternoon I saw her and she was bouncing, her shoulders were up and down, and she was straight up.
You know it was
amazing.
I'm working with some people at the moment. I've got a cerebral palsy client who, I mean, he comes in twice a week for one-to-one. I've got MS clients and it's quite astounding. I've just actually ordered some foot correctors from America that have come in, which are just little wooden foot machines, you know, that you can work the foot. And already I've got about 4 clients wanting to order them in from America. They are amazing. You know, within 1 week, I mean, I know it sounds incredible, but this is the sort of results that you can get.
Yeah.
One of my clients has a knee problem. She's in her 70s, very fit, one of my strongest ladies. And she just used this foot machine for 2 weeks and she said her knee had improved massively. And it's amazing, just working the feet, just looking at the alignment of the feet and working all the muscles in the feet, because that's where the core begins, is right down in the feet, the soles of the feet.
Yeah, which, I mean, it's all an eye-opener. I mean, it's what you're saying. I mean, maybe everybody else knew this before I came to your classes, but it never even dawned on me that the feet is actually the key to it, and that it's all connected. And then when you feel it all connect and work right, you just think, man, this is like magic. You know, it's so surprising that it does work out.
I love my job. I mean, I'm actually leaving. I'm leaving my teachers to work, but I'm going off to Asia and Indonesia.
For 6 months.
Travel or work?
Well, look, I was, as you know, I was helping Energy out here at Radio Verulam on a Wednesday night, doing a show. We started a show called Inspired Talk. He had his spiritual matters, and we started doing the show Inspired Talk, and I really believe in people sort of creating, you know, the magic to happen into their lives and to follow their bliss, follow their dreams, follow their heart. So we were interviewing all these really interesting people who've given up 9-to-5 jobs and gone and followed their heart. And you see, and I do a job that I'm actually passionate about. I love what I do.
And you make a difference. You know you do.
Oh, thank you. And I thought, well, you know, I've got to practice what I preach. Again, I've got to practice what I preach. So I've been going to Thailand the last few winters for a month or two, and I just thought, right, okay, kids are grown up, single woman, you know, I've got some really good teachers that I've trained up. I'm going to take a step off.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go.
Have a little journey for yourself.
Yeah.
So you're going for 6 months.
Yeah.
To
well, I won't change the subject too much, but I was going to Koh Samui for 6 months. And I had this amazing reading by this astrocartologer, who, a very good friend of mine, who's a therapist, had a reading with him. And her and her husband were told that the country that would be most beneficial for them in every area of their life was Malta. And they've sold their 4-bedroom detached house and they're moving to Malta next month. And I booked an appointment with him. And I had to wait 3 months for the appointment.
Oh,
I had a
God.
Skype session with him. And he went through the 3 areas of my life. I didn't choose the areas. He went through my relationship area, my career, and my spiritual. And he got my personality absolutely spot on. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then he read, and it's all astrology, it's all in the stars. And he read about 15 countries that would be absolutely perfect for my relationship life. And then he read another 15 or so countries that would be perfect in my career, and another one for my spiritual. And two countries came up in every area. One was Canada.
Gosh.
And the other one was a country that I've always wanted to go to, and it would have been my next on my list. And I would have gone to it if I didn't feel at home in Thailand, because I thought, well, I can get some work there. I know people there. It was Bali.
Ah.
And he said, Liz, when are you going to Bali? You need to be in Bali. And so I thought, right, I'm going to go to Koh Samui for 6 weeks, and then I'm going to go to Bali. I don't know anyone there. I've got no work there. I'm just going to go to Bali. So that's, right. Yeah, so that's what I'm doing.
Well, you'll have to come back and tell us all about it.
Send us a postcard.
I will.
But in the meantime, people locally can still access your teachers that you've trained up for Pilates.
I have to say that, you know, the teachers I've trained, I absolutely love the way they teach. And I there are different sort of styles of Pilates, and I'm very, very happy with what they're doing. I'm very happy. You know, I've really I've studied a lot of different styles of Pilates, and I'm very happy with what we're doing. So
great. Yeah. Great. So it's Fit From Within if anybody wants to go. It's your website is www.fitfromwithin.co.uk if anybody wants to check out more about Pilates courses.
Thank you.
Be with you. And thank you very much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
It was great to chat to you. Kathy?
Slightly demoralised, I am, but I have to get to one of your classes.
I think I owe you an assessment for that wonderful advertising, which I didn't ask for. Thank you.
It'd be cheating not to kind of let listeners know that I am impartial. I am completely impartial.
One of us is transformed.
Yeah. Mm. Right, so we've got a request, Kathy.
We certainly do. We've had a lovely phone call from a very proud dad from Marshallswick, because his son, Drew Peacock, did really well in his A-levels today. And your dad, Drew, sounded really, really chipper on the phone and really delighted at your very hard work and all your success. So lots and lots of congratulations to you. And here comes your special song as requested by your dad. Here
well
we
done, Drew. Well done. Good well on done. You. Good on you. Welcome back to The Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Now, back from her months and months on the in the sun.
How can you
say
that?
Say on the sick? How can you even say
months
things like that?
Months.
We have Claire Healy from Raring Hello. To Go with us. How are you doing?
Hello. Yes, I'm all right.
You're looking very
back.
Looking annoyingly bronzed.
Oh, I tell you what, we've had... It's only 2 weeks. Only 2 weeks. But
I'm sure it's been longer.
Well, I just feel like I've been at the Olympics the whole time. It was just fantastic. We just watched the Olympics.
Amazing.
It's been... brilliant.
But wait, is that where you got the tan? In England?
No.
Oh.
But we had a television screen in Turkey.
Oh my God.
Which was great. And it's great to see all the Turkish supporting the English.
I think I've seen people like you on holiday in a sun resort watching television under a grass roof.
Oh no, in the pool.
Oh really?
Television.
Really?
And they have those TVs everywhere. Every cafe in Portugal had the British athletics.
Well, they should really do, shouldn't they? I mean, it's an international event. But they should have it in English, of course.
Yeah,
I thoroughly support having it in English.
Can I just say, I think you Brits have kind of lost the plot just a bit now.
I know. It's like, you're probably right.
It's like, and the only winners you can see are British winners. You know, it's like kind of, and a couple of other worlds, you know, countries competed too.
I don't think there were very many other countries, were there?
Oh, well, there
somebody
we go.
Said
there
204, but I only saw about three. Yeah, I think, really.
Yeah.
Have you not bought your own chocolate medal, Lydia, from Waitrose? Because I haven't. I put it around my neck in the mirror and waved and thanked everybody.
And,
yeah.
I thought you were giving up on that and sticking with the Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, anyway, shall we move on from the Olympics?
Yeah,
tell us what's happening. What's on this weekend? There's a couple of big events actually that are going on that would be quite good to go and partake with the family. First one is the Scarecrow Festival, which is the one up in Flamstead. It's really famous. It starts tomorrow, goes on till Sunday, and there are all sorts of scarecrows. I think last year, was it you, Lydia?
I went. Didn't you say all the
trotters from Only Fools and Horses up there, and
really?
Yeah, you did. Oh. You've got
Kathy. I don't think you went. I think I went. I think she just
excuse me, I do remember the Iggle Piggle Scarecrow in Flamstead. I was there.
There was Iggle Piggle, there was Nightmare on Elm Street, or whatever the name of the street it was. It was yeah. Nightmare on something Street. But yeah, they had the little van and the trotter, the whole trotter fantastic. Family. It's very good.
So they've got to top that this year.
Sorry, so what day did you say
that's
on?
Friday through to Sunday this weekend. So I'm going to go try and go up to that one because I think that'd be quite good fun. And also there's the Hatfield Country Show at Hatfield House, which again is sort of all the farming fraternity, lots and lots of activities for children, but it's all a bit sort of the old-fashioned traditional kind of activities, so that's quite good fun. And then finally there is a teddy bears picnic up at Lydica Park, just off Sun Lane in Harpenden, on Sunday between 11 and 2. It's an annual event and they have lots of entertainers, and you go along, you can take your picnic, take your teddy bear, go and enjoy the bounce castle, the face painting, the balloons, all those sort of things. So there's those sort of three events which I think are real family orientated events, and it's strange, I think, that they're not bank holiday weekend events. It's the week before, isn't it?
Yeah, but
don't know why, but
yeah, actually it probably isn't a bad idea because everybody will probably go away for the bank holiday,
maybe. Yeah, and yeah, maybe.
So maybe get them in just beforehand. It's probably the one weekend everybody will be around.
Yes,
actually,
very true. So it's going to rain.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Oh, no, it's not. Did you see the weather forecast?
No.
29 degrees and
fantastic.
Sunny.
Fantastic.
And wait for this. Saturday and Sunday.
Oh. This weekend.
Yeah, this weekend. In England.
Wow. Are you sure you wasn't murdering the other, someone in other country?
No.
Yeah, one of those other countries that took part
Trust
in the
Olympics. I've been staring at it for hours on my phone.
unbelievable.
Is it possible? Yeah. No, now it's saying
fantastic.
30 degrees on Saturday.
30 degrees.
Yeah, have your barbecues.
That is absolutely
down
brilliant.
Down to Pinder's to get the sausages.
Yeah. Better get some wine chilling as well now, I think.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Or better, get invited to somebody else's barbecue. Yeah. Can I come to yours, Claire?
Yeah, you can come to mine. Bring your chilled wine, though. Open Great. Invitation.
Yeah,
that's
brilliant.
Fine.
We'll put the address on Facebook.
Okay, lovely, yeah.
Great stuff. Okay, Cathy, you were going to give us a few tips for A-level students who are... hopefully mainly euphoric.
Yes.
Well, overall it's a great result, more passes than ever before, but
and the boys have done better than the girls in the A star grade, which is very interesting. Obviously the Hertfordshire cohort of children must have excelled more than any other children in the country, and let's face it, if they've done well in their A levels, they're not going to be listening to this, they're going to be out.
Oh,
but their parents may be listening, and we just wanted to let you know, if your child hasn't done so well and they haven't come home out of fear of what you're going to say to them, just be there's a lovely website that you can go to via the BBC. It's bbc.co.uk/education. They have a big question and answer list for parents. What can your child do to get the best chance of getting a place through clearing? Answer questions like that. How can your child actually challenge their results? And what if they actually get better grades than expected? What should they do? Because I think our findings from last year, we did a show on this last year with Sally Wells from Kids to Work, and she said, it's about how you respond quickly. You know, you need to be up and informed about how the system works. If you've done better than you expect, then you need to know what your options are. So do go to the BBC website, bbc.co.uk/education. And there are numbers that your child can call. The UCAS, UCAS website has lots of advice about navigating clearing and adjustment. And you can also get feeds from UCAS on Twitter and Facebook, which is a great way of keeping up with the information as it changes. On Twitter, it's advising applicants to follow @UCAS _online and @UCAS clearing to get up to date information. And your child can also call the UCAS customer contact centre on 0871 468 0468. We've also got the National Exam Results Helpline on 0808 100 8000. So there's loads of help out there. So make sure that you've done your research, that if your child is really keen to go to a certain university and perhaps didn't get in, there's still an option through clearing. Dust has not settled yet. So fingers crossed everybody gets the place they want.
Yeah, and it must be a load of pressure on parents right now. I mean, today, great if they got what they wanted. But, you know, but it starts a ball rolling that must be almost dizzying for parents. You know,
thinking that your child is going to be moving away in the next month or two.
And so much to get your head around,
isn't it?
It happens so quickly, doesn't it? Within six weeks from exam result, or less than that, isn't it? Really, four weeks to go.
And the worry because you don't know where they're going to go, and you need to get it. You want to get it sorted as quickly as possible,
and then you want them to go, but then you don't want them to go.
You've been dreaming of that day for so long, and then suddenly you're driving them to their unique place.
Oh Lord, we are with the whole car full of stuff. But right, so we've come towards the end of our show. Thank you very much to Liz Colloxy from Fit Women from Within and to Claire Healy from Rare.